Well, the text that was read to you, and actually, it's right there, if you want to, in the middle of your worship folder. You can see it again, this whole text that we've heard read to us, Philippians chapter 3. This tells the secret of the Christian life. It tells how we grow as Christians. Paul was giving his testimony, and it revealed two things in this passage. One, we haven't reached our goal yet. And number two, we need to be vigorously committed to reaching it. Those two things. We're not there yet, and we need to keep on going so we get there. Those two things. And this passage really, really does aptly conclude this idea of coming full circle during this Lenten season, the elements of repentance, because it does. It brings us in a circle. It brings us full circle back to this place where we are starting over the cycle. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, commitment to communion. But let's look at these again. You can hold this, and we'll just go over them really quickly. We begin with our complacency confronted by Christ or His Word, and that confrontation brings us conviction by the Holy Spirit, by the Comforter. And true conviction opens the conscience to contrition or godly sorrow. And that becomes a confession with our mouth of present sin and our faith in God's forgiveness. And then the cycle ends, in a sense, with a complete change, a comprehensive conversion that makes us arrive at a new level of our commitment to communion with Jesus. And that commitment to communion with Jesus starts the whole cycle over again. And so you can see how that works. The last stage is like coming home. It's like we're coming home in our union with Christ. He's the one that we're after. He's the goal, actually, that we're after. It's not to have an autonomous spirituality. A lot of people say, well, I've got spirituality, or I'm on this personal journey of spirituality. Well, we are in a sense on a personal journey, but it's not autonomous. It's in joint union with somebody that we're on this journey. It's with Christ, and we're on this journey of growth, as Paul says, until we all reach, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's a big order. And God does not ask us to get there all at once. He takes us little by little through this cycle, and then we arrive at a little... I didn't really make this right. It should have been an arrow going upward. We arrive at a new level. Once we arrive back there, we're at another level. We have changed. And we have become more like Christ in certain ways. And so that is what this whole thing does again. The cycle of repentance changes us to become like the one who saved us. Ongoing repentance moves us ever closer to the holy life of Christ. And we do it again, we get even closer to the holy life of Christ. Do it again, and we get even closer. So it's a process, and it's a growth cycle. So this passage starts out this way. It assumes that Christ is in us and we are in Him. And that's because we've already done this first repentance where we've asked Christ into our hearts. That's where we begin. Now that we have that, then we start this cycle of growth. So here's what Paul says. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He was already a Christian. He was already a Christian. He knew Christ, but he wanted to know Him better and better and better. And that's what we need to have as our goal, to keep on pressing on to know Him better. What happened when Christ first came into our hearts? When we went through this, we started this cycle of repentance for the first time by asking Christ in. Well, Christ moved in to our earthly lives. Christ moved into our earthly lives. It says here in John 14, Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So what happened here, Jesus began to live in us, and when he did, he moved the whole Trinity into our lives. So he brought everybody into our the whole Trinity into our lives. And another thing that happened was that we moved into his life. He moved into our lives inside of our hearts, and we moved into his life. And where does he live? He lives in heaven. So where are we? I never could figure this out. It says in Ephesians that we're in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, God has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. How are we there? Well, the same way. It's like Christ is living in me. Christ is living in Betty. Christ is living in Ann. Christ is living in Virginia. And we say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How does he live in each one of us? I don't know. But he does it. So if we can believe that, then it's easy for us to say, Christ is in our hearts, but we're also in his heart. We are in Christ. We are, and where are we? This says we're in heaven. Our bodies are in heaven, but our spirits are with Jesus in his heart in heaven. Even though we can't feel it, we do it by faith. Just like we say, Christ is in me, by faith. We know it. By faith. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we feel it strongly. Other times is Christ really still here? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He's still there. He's not going to abandon it. He's going to stay in our hearts. So we've moved into this resurrection life. So we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. And something happened when he came in. Terry talked about this. It said regeneration. That's a big word, regeneration. It's just new birth. New birth, regeneration. But that word gen, the root word of gen, or regeneration, that word gen, it comes from genus. It means, or genus, it means family. And what God did, Christ became human to start a new human family. He wanted to start a brand new and divine human family. By our new birth, it made us children in that new family. It says in John chapter 1, when we received Christ, John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born again into a new family. So we are children of God in a new family, and by joining his divinity to our humanity, Jesus has enabled a transferability. He's able now to transfer that divine nature to us as individuals. And you say, how is that possible? Well, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we are supposed to become partakers of the divine nature. How do we do that? Well, the divine nature's inside of us. We have a journey inward so that we can have a journey of that divine nature outward in our daily lives, obeying Christ and following him and being more like him. And it all starts from that journey inward to try to get this journey outward of manifestation of Christ. So this is really, really cool. This is fantastic. Jesus' life, Christ's life, was a pattern. And he was continually growing. And we say, well, wait a minute, he's God. How could he grow? Well, he did. He became a human being. The incarnation, he emptied himself for the incarnation. And in his humanity, he learned to know God better. He learned to know the Father in his heart better as he grew. And it says this in Luke. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. God the Father was already in his heart. And so that's an amazing thing when we think that this is the pattern for us. God is in our heart. And we're getting to know him better. Just like Jesus got to know his Father better before he started his ministry. And that's what's happening. It's just a fantastic parallel. It's beyond fantastic. That being in Christ and Christ being in us parallels the ministry that Jesus had when he was here on the earth, manifesting his Father. And you say, but wait a minute. Jesus was God. We can't do that. We're human beings. But Jesus became human so that he could do that. He became a human being like us so that he could take this divine nature and transfer it to us by becoming human and getting himself into our heart and us into him. So Jesus had his own will as a human being, but he also had the Father's will living inside of him, and that is now our situation. We have Jesus' will living inside of us with our will. So there are two wills involved. And it's really interesting. We sang, he's the Savior of my soul, change my heart, O God. We started out for him being the Savior by coming in. But he's also changing us to be more like him. That's our sanctification, being more holy like Christ is holy. That's our sanctification. So there are two wills involved in salvation, but there's also two wills involved in sanctification or becoming more like Christ, holy like Christ. We have to choose, first of all, to receive Christ and then to grow in Christ. We have a choice in our free will choice to do that. And Christ is always confronting us so that we'll continue to do that. So that's our situation. Two wills involved. And here's what it says in verse 12. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. See, two wills. There's two wills. There's the will of Paul saying, I am pressing on to take hold of that for which. I'm taking hold of that. We're going to talk about that. Okay. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He took hold of us for the same reason. Those two, that for which, that Paul was pursuing that, and Christ was taking hold of us for that, those two things are the same. They're one thing. What is it? It's this union life. God living out his life, manifesting his life through us in Christ. Manifesting God's life. So that manifestation, two wills are involved in that manifestation, both God's will and our will. After salvation, when we ask Jesus into our heart, we got another will. We got God's will into our heart, living with our will. So when those two wills get into conflict, do they sometimes, where God says us to do something, we say, no. No, I don't want to do that. We step back, you know? No, that's not the way to go. We need to step forward when God tells for us to do something. But what happens? Sometimes there's this conflict. What did Jesus do when he had the conflict? What did he do? He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. That's the secret. That's the secret of this Christian growth thing. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus showed us, he's the pattern of manifesting the Father's life. We're walking in that pattern now too, manifesting Jesus' life as long as we pray that prayer. And we actually live the prayer out. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, this thing, this that for which, this thing called that for which Christ pursued us, and that Paul was saying, we need to go after that as well. What that is the experience that Jesus wants us to have is his divine life being manifested in us like he manifested the Father's life in him. And that's what he did for 3 years down here. We saw that in the New Testament. We see the Father's life manifested through Jesus. He was doing what the Father wanted him to do by praying that prayer. And this happens as we live out this union life. We have union with Christ in our hearts, in our spirits, and we live out this union life. Because it says in 2 Corinthians, he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. We don't get this thing of a Christian growth, a spirituality, holiness. we don't get it as a personal, separate possession. It's just ours. No, we only get it in relationship. It's really talking about a relationship. Jesus Christ is our wisdom, it says. He's our salvation. He is our redemption. He is our sanctification. And He is now our life. He's our life. Paul said, you know, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, Christ liveth in me. That's where we need to be. That's what we're after. That's on a moment-by-moment basis, living out this union life. Well, our commitment to communion with the indwelling Christ is the launching pad for Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know? I say that again. This relationship, this commitment to commune with the indwelling Christ, this relationship is a launching pad for the answer to the prayer, Thy will, not Thy will be done, but yeah, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus did that. He became human. He lived out that prayer. He brought heaven down. He showed us what we're supposed to be as children of the Father. And He's still doing it in our lives. How is He doing it? Well, ongoing repentance moves us ever closer to the holy life of God. By moving closer to fellowship with Jesus, we see where we need to make changes in our lives. And when we see those changes that need to be made in our thinking and in our behavior, then we pray this prayer, not my will, but thine be done. And if we pray that prayer, then we start to see things in a different way. We begin to be dissatisfied with a static spiritual life, a life that's not going anywhere in Christ, not really growing. We want to continue to move. This whole thing is a thing in motion. You go this way and then you keep on going until all of a sudden in our communion with Christ we're confronted, and then we do it again. We go through the cycle again, and we continue to grow that way. And here's what it says in this passage: forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's something we've got to remember. We've got to remember how to forget. We've got to remember how to forget the right way. Something that we need to do. If we have had spiritual failures, if we have not listened to the Lord's will, and we failed to listen to the Lord inside of us, and what we've got to do is that we have to confess and ask forgiveness, and then we have to move closer to Christ, forgetting what is behind. And then if we've had spiritual victories, and we say, yay, I made it, I achieved this, well, God asks us to forget that too. And just praise the Lord for the progress you've made, and then just keep on moving closer to Jesus, forgetting what is behind and moving closer in our communion with Christ. So we don't need to build up steam and say, oh, I need to and try to do this really hard. Our motivation is Jesus. He's our motivation. He is our momentum of this whole thing. It's Jesus Himself is the momentum of this spiritual growth. And complacency, if we are in a place where we're not growing and we don't even care about growing, if we're just there and we're just sort of stagnate, complacency does. It stagnates the Christian life, being complacent. Well, our determination to press on toward the goal for which God has called us in Christ, that is nourished. That determination is nourished by our meditating or our meditation on Christ's commitment to us. How did He commit Himself? He committed Himself by going to the cross. That cross obtained for us this inward communion with this relationship we have with Christ, this inner communion. He committed Himself to that, and now we have it. Now we have this wonderful arrangement of Jesus living within us so that we can continue to grow. Well, this place on the diagram right here, commitment to communion with the living Christ, that will keep us moving. If we commit to living in communion with Christ, that will keep us moving forward. Because we see, oh, I need to change. And that's what the word repentance means. Remember, I need to change. And we're going to see that again. Because I've given out two things. The handout, and I've also the cycle of repentance. I'll read the poem. I wrote this after I wrote the message, actually. This is a poem I wrote to try to encapsulate the message in poetry. Complacency confronted by the word must meet the comforter's convicting weight. If wooing from the Spirit's voice is heard, the conscience and contrition soon will mate. Convinced of sin, believing lips confess. Convinced of grace, the same sing praise and bless. Repentance, metanoia, that's the Greek word for repentance. Repentance, metanoia, means to change our way of thinking, planning, how we talk. We turn, transform, renew, or rearrange, converting comprehensively our walk. Full circle in communion with the Son, committed to the new life He's begun. Our ongoing repentance, this cycle of repentance, ongoing repentance, moves us ever closer to the holy life of God. And as we do, we begin this process again. And we continue this growth as long as we're down here. So as long as we can draw earthly breath, as long as we're still here, we still have a mission to do. We still have growth to do. So we are on this earthly journey still. And as long as we draw breath, we need to be committed to this communion with the indwelling Christ so that His holy life can be manifested in each of our lives every day, moment by moment. Let's pray. Father God, we want holy living in our lives, but we know that we cannot do it without You. So we need to turn inward where You live in our hearts and commune with You and see how wonderful You are and for You to show us areas of our lives that need to change. I pray, Father God, that You will do so as we continue on our spiritual journey. And Lord, here we are entering into the last days of the Lenten season. And I pray, Father God, that this will be a thing we go through, this cycle of repentance, as we look at our own hearts and see how we need to change as we anticipate Easter. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.